Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome, Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle, watch us. MileEyeSports.com, you can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Troy Rank, at Eric Goodman on Wednesday, July 10th. There's an auction for construction and contracting equipment for wheel loaders, a water truck, skid steers, dump trucks, street sweepers, pickup trucks, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions on rollerauction.com/MHS. It is the dawning of a new era at Mile High Sports Radio, Mile High Sports in general, the magazine online. When I heard the news, Troy, that you were joining the team, you and I have known each other for a very long time, and I was simply thrilled. For those that don't know about Troy, I mean, I'll just spell it out for you because I know you're not going to do it yourself. You are what they call a triple threat. You have excelled in television, you have excelled in radio, and you're one of the best writers I've ever read and a great journalist at the Denver Post. You bring a tremendous amount of likability, credibility. I know you won't to the show today, but eventually you'll pick it up.
Eric, it is an absolute pleasure to be here. It was in the works for a little bit. I do my podcast, Broncos podcast, through Mile High Sports with Nate Lundy, and it just made sense to extend and expand this partnership. So now I can fill in here once in a while for Bruce. Bruce is a great friend. He's fantastic on the show with you, Eric, and allow me to be on multiple programs and take my podcast to YouTube here this month at some point prior to Broncos training camp. So I'm really excited. It was time for something new and to do it with friends like yourself. And thank you. I'm blushing, but thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I must tell you, when you asked me to read that intro that you wrote for me last night, I was kind of surprised that you must have a very, very good editor because your spelling was not very good. And your punctuation was surprisingly off. You really don't know how to use a semicolon, do you?
Yeah, I'm E.E. Cummings, just a stream of consciences.
Well done. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lions, and Estes Park.
Well, a lot to get to with the start of free agency, Paul George overnight. He is now a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. There was a report on Friday before Sean Keeler and I wrapped it up that Klay Thompson could be interested in coming to the Denver Nuggets, and the feelings seemed to be mutual. Now it seems like it has been narrowed down to two teams for Klay Thompson, the Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks. We'll get to that a little bit later on, but let's start off with the report. Right when free agency started, Russell Westbrook, mutual interest with the Nuggets. How would you feel about him coming in now? The KCP is gone, and we'll get into KCP momentarily.
Listen, I like the energy he brings. It is a second-unit guy who seems to understand his role now. This last year with the Clippers, he's really been humbled by the fact he's not a starter. He's not a star anymore. I'm not against it. I just don't know how they're necessarily better if you bring in Westbrook and lose KCP. KCP's a true 3-and-D defender. Russell Westbrook's not a good defender. He brings energy. He gets you in transition. He gets rebounds. And he doesn't – I mean, there's a reason they call him West Brick. He doesn't shoot particularly well. Now, he'll get to the rim, but if Christian Brown's your starter and Westbrook's the backup, Eric, are they better than they were with KCP as your starter and Christian Brown as the backup? I just don't know. Right now, they're not a better team than they were 24 hours ago without KCP. There's another move here at some point. Please, God, tell me there's another move. But – I'm not against Westbrook. It just feels, at best, a parallel move. And I don't know that that makes you a championship. In terms of reaching a championship, I don't know how Westbrook makes you better in that regard.
Westbrook was a triple-double guy, a season-long triple-double guy. He's not the same guy, and that's understandable looking at his age. But he can still score, he can still pass, and he can still rebound. Now, if I told you you're getting a guy who could do all three things, you're thinking, wow, that sounds like a pretty good pickup, especially on the surface. But what got the Nuggets a title? They brought in KCP. They brought in Bruce Brown. And what did they do well? They were 3-and-Ds. And what does Westbrook do? Neither of those things well.
He shot 27% from three last year. That's just right. Who he is.
But at the end, of the day, you're going to have to bring in some reinforcements on the bench. Who are you really going to find at basically $4 to $5 million as a 3-and-D guy? Bruce Brown was an aberration because he didn't cost a lot of money, right? He got paid like KCP got paid, which is interesting because their salaries per season are almost identical. And it's really not surprising either. Do I have a problem with bringing in Russell Westbrook? What Russell Westbrook, a friend of mine spent a lot of time around the Oklahoma City Thunder when, and he was part of the organization, when Durant was there and Westbrook was there. Westbrook is a hothead. Let's just call it like it is. Difficult guy to deal with. Although I find it interesting that last night on Twitter, George Karl actually gave Russell Westbrook his endorsement, talking about Russell Westbrook being running hot. But the older that he is, I think he now understands his role. They need some reinforcements. It looks like Christian Brown's going to go into the starting lineup. You're not going to find a D and three at about $4 to $5 million. You need to do something. I don't know what they will do. I don't know, honestly, if they're going to do anything significant, I should say. And we'll get into that in the next segment because you wrote a column about that. Westbrook is a nice piece, but you're not winning a title because you brought him on the roster.
I mean, he's going to be 36 in November.
Right.
Last year, he's fine. I mean, he's 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4.5 assists. As you mentioned, he brings a lot. He'll fill up a box score.
And he didn't spend a lot of time on the court either, remember. He didn't play a lot of minutes. If you give him more minutes, he is going to produce more. But as a guy coming off the bench, maybe 25 minutes a game.
Yeah, that would be high-end minutes.
Correct.
My issue with Westbrook is twofold. He doesn't do the things KCP did. He's not a three-point shooter at all in that regard. He's not necessarily a locker room leader. KCP certainly was that.
But he's not replacing him.
Well, Christian Brown is replacing KCP.
Correct.
And he doesn't shoot threes well either. He had no confidence into the end of the year.
He didn't, but I'm going to give this guy some grace. Being only 2 years into the league, he shot 38% from the floor for the season. And he was a pretty good three-point shooter overall. We don't know what he looks like playing extended minutes yet. We will certainly find that out. You hope that he takes a big step. Because honestly, when I looked at Christian Brown last year compared to his rookie year, I didn't see any marked improvement.
That's my issue. Well, he's going to be better in year three. Is he? Now, again, as a starter, he might have more confidence in his shot, not looking over his shoulder as much, not feeling more like he's part of the offense. Rather, sometimes as a bench guy, it's kind of hard to figure out, should I shoot? Should I not? Am I coming out of the game? Again, with Westbrook, he's going to get to the rack. He's going to create stuff in transition. The fact that he doesn't shoot well bothers me because of the fact that's who they are. And if I'm being honest, when I watch Westbrook, he has a little bit of Will Barton in his game. He loses context. He gives himself heat checks. He gets jealous on the floor when another guy gets going. It's like, I got to get mine. Now, again, last year was different. I'll give him that. It's just his career will tell you he kind of loses context of time and space. And it's like, I'm going to get mine. And that's what drove me crazy about Will Barton. A guy's hot around him, and Barton can't figure it out. Like, you don't need to shoot, Will. The other guy's making threes right now. You don't need to get your...
But there's a difference between Will Barton and Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook's a Hall of Famer.
100%.
Will Barton, the only way he's getting to the Hall of Fame is with a ticket.
But he was a streaky shooter, and I mean, he was a scorer. I mean, he gave you that...
J.R. Smith, same way.
Smith's the same way. Totally didn't understand context of a game.
And that's what worries me about bringing in Russell Westbrook. They talk about culture all the time.
100%.
In that locker room. You got to have the right fit. Russell Westbrook doesn't strike me as the right fit for that locker room.
Where has it ever worked for him?
Never.
And he's been a great player. First ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt. But
okay, let me ask
where they ever won the championship with him?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Okay.
And it was a disaster with the Lakers, but that was when he still thought he was a star.
Okay, let me ask you something. If we're going to go down that road of, well, it never worked for him, Would you like Paul George on this roster?
I would have taken Paul George.
Yeah, where has it worked for him?
But he was dealing with Westbrook and James Harden and Kawhi Leonard.
No, Kawhi Leonard is a great teammate.
He's not a great player because he never plays. You never know his availability. He's the worst kind of teammate in that you never know when he's going to play. Well, that really undermines a team.
I think they load managed a lot with him.
You never know when he's going to play.
Well, you could say the same thing about Paul George.
He doesn't communicate with anyone.
Paul George doesn't play a lot either.
He has issues too.
This past year, he did play a lot of minutes. We will see how it works out with Maxey and Joel Embiid. And oh, by the way, for Joel Embiid, it's like when something doesn't work out, okay, we need to do something for Joel because it's his window. I get that. Joel Embiid's a great player. It didn't work with Jimmy Buckets, right? Didn't work with James Harden. And now it's going to work with, hopefully, for his sake, for Paul George. But getting back to the Nuggets, and we'll talk more about this after the break. They lose KCP. When you look at the deal, 3 years, $66 million. It's not too hard to do the math if you're pretty good with adding twos. So it's $22 million per season. We all kind of thought it would cost about $20 million to bring him back. So why didn't the Nuggets bring him back? I saw one report, although I'm not going to put a lot of credence in it, that the Nuggets really wanted to bring him back at that number. After listening to Calvin Booth, which I'm sure that you did, I don't know if they wanted to pay him 17, more or less 22. So what's next, and was it a mistake, or will it be looked at as a mistake, not bringing back KCP? That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed. At Troy Rank, at Eric Goodman on Wednesday, July 10th, there's an auction for construction and contracting equipment for wheel loaders, a water truck, skid steers, pickup trucks, portable offices, implements, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, if you're looking to do a little home improvement as we head into the summer, as a matter of fact, we're already in the summer. Can you believe it's July 1st?
I can't. But I lose perspective of time now covering the Avs and Nuggets. I used to feel the summer because this was the time off covering just Broncos. Now I looked up, I'm like, oh my God, it's July 4th.
Well, this is my biggest question. It is July 1st. The weather's going to be hot and you are wearing a Pepperdine sweatshirt hoodie. You know it's going to be hot today, right?
Part of the reason I wear sweatshirts is that it keeps the sun off of me. I'm not going to be out much today. There's a chance I'm going to mow the lawn later tonight. I've delayed it as long as possible. But I keep sweatshirts on sometimes in the sun because it actually keeps me cooler.
So what are you playing on your AirPods? What is on Troy's set list? You're not really looking it up, are you?
I just want to... it's a varied list. I mean, I grew up listening to alternative music and cheesy heavy metal. Now I've transitioned more. I've got a little more of a country vibe with Zach Bryant on my current
playlist. Did you go see him?
My son did with his girlfriend last year at Red Rocks. Yeah. This year I was going to go. It just didn't work out. We had a family thing going on. Stick Season is a song I really like. Yeah. But I always mix in Guns N' Roses, Metallica, and The Cure almost in every playlist I have on my phone.
The Cure, well done.
You're a Cure guy?
I like The Cure.
I wouldn't have taken you as a Cure guy.
What do you take me as? Ella Fitzgerald?
Yeah, probably something from George Gershwin would be good for you.
I do like George Gershwin.
Yeah, see? There I go.
I do. I'm big into theater. I do like George Gershwin, you jerk. I mean, you thought you were being funny, and now okay. So what? On my set list, there are two things that are always there. So what kind of music would you think that I listen to? Because I would not peg you as a country guy.
I don't listen to much country. I just, on this current set list, gotcha. I listen to a little bit of country.
Oh, for me, I don't change.
So I would say, are you 70s rock and roll, 80s rock and roll?
I am Green Day, Fall Out Boy.
Really?
Well, it's workout music. It's workout music.
Like, how's that working out for you?
What's that?
How's that working out for you?
How do I look?
Just fabulous.
Are you saying that in a heterosexual way, I hope?
Yes.
Okay, real quick, I want to tell you about Paramount Siding and Windows. Just named the best siding contractor in the Best of Mile High magazine. They were also top three finalists in the Windows and Doors category. I'm flattered that you said that about me. In the next segment, I'm going to take off my shirt. What do their customers think about them? Outstanding. 600 five-star Google reviews in Paramount. They will do smaller projects, unlike the competition. Quick story about them. Are you a handy guy?
No.
Okay. I am not either. I know who to call, but I'm not handy at all. I brought them out to do one window. Companies do not come out to do one window. It's like a waste of their gas money. So Scott came out to the house, and I'm like, I think I need a new window, and I know it's going to cost some money. And he looks at it, and it's one of those windows where it slides from the top, slides from the bottom. And he looks at it, and he just adjusts it, and he goes, okay, done. I go, what do you mean, okay, done? He goes, it's fixed. I said, I don't need a new window. He goes, no, you don't need a new window. He could have very easily sold me a new window, and he didn't. Those are the types of companies that you want to work with.
100%.
He didn't sell me something I didn't need. ParamountSidingAndWindows.com. That's how you check them out online or go to their state-of-the-art showroom in Littleton. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Paramount Siding and Windows. Paramount Siding and Windows, it's quality in everything they do. Find them at ParamountSidingAndWindows.com.
When you saw the deal for KCP, 3 years, $66 million, to Orlando, what was your first thought? Was it something like, why didn't the Nuggets do this?
No, I was bracing for him to leave based on what Calvin Booth had said during the season, near the end of the season, and in his press conference following the draft. They were bracing for his exit. This told me they didn't want to go into the second apron because of him. They might do it. They were not going to do it for him. Because it's showing confidence in Christian Brown, and the fact that second apron, I hate that in the NBA. It complicates how you can build a roster, and it's why these three max contracts, as Jamal Murray soon gets one, are really kind of this iceberg in the middle for the Nuggets right now. It's hard to navigate around that, but it didn't surprise me. I was bracing for it, and it told me they were not willing to go into the second apron for him. Paul George, they kicked the tires on, it sounded like, with Mike MPJ and Zeke Nagy and draft picks. They're willing to do it. They were not willing to do it for him. That tells me there should be another move, but what is that move? Because without another move, this is a hugely disappointing offseason.
Is it worth going into the second apron? And they have said, as such, they're willing to do it. To say that Stan Kroenke isn't willing to spend money is foolhardy. That's just not true. And to say that Dick Monfort isn't willing to spend money, that's not true either. He just doesn't spend it wisely, and he gives the checkbook to the wrong guy. But with that, when you look at KCP, you can make the case he was their fifth best player in the rotation. You can make a strong case for that. It's not a knock on him. He's a great leader, great dog to have on your team. It seems like that chain following the game was basically, might as well have just been stapled to his shoulders, because it feels like he won it every single game, didn't it? Like when you looked at those videos, hey, KCP, you got the chain. KCP, you got the chain. But with that, Calvin Booth, we're going to find out if the process that he believes in is going to work out in the Nikola Jokic window era. He has to navigate, as you said, around the three big contracts. And I hope it works out. And he is the reason. I do not believe the Nuggets win a title with Tim Connelly as their GM. I believe that Tim made a mistake giving too much money to MPJ, because you wouldn't give it to him today, more or less back then when he had to prove it. But Calvin Booth acquired draft picks last year. And let's just hope Strother and Pickett and Peyton Watson can play, because I believe that is the plan. They might pick up a Gordon Hayward, something like that, but he's going all in on his young guys.
But when is the last team, Eric, that has tried to win a championship while developing young players?
Well, it doesn't really happen.
It reminds me of Lyndon B. Johnson when he studied history, when he had the war on poverty in Vietnam. You cannot do both.
Yeah, but
you can't do both where you're developing young guys. And here's why you can't. You're asking your coach to win a championship. He has no interest in developing these guys.
Correct.
So unless Michael Malone has a lobotomy at some point this offseason and a willingness to sacrifice games in November, December, January, February to develop Watson, Brown, and not Najee, he never plays, but pick the Strother, then they're going to be in the same spot. And here's what I would argue with Michael
Malone. But what do you do? But what do you honestly do? Now that KCP's contract is off the books.
I trade Michael Porter Jr. I would move Michael Porter Jr. right now for the best deal. Now, not any deal. I like Michael. I do. I just don't know that he's going to get any better.
Okay.
He's not a max contract guy.
It's very funny you should say that because I talked about it all last week. That for Michael Porter Jr., you do need to move that contract. What do you get in return? I suppose we will see. Michael Porter Jr. has been in the league for basically 4 years. And I'm going to liken him to Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray's been in the league for about 7 years. How many guys have high ceilings after 4 years and certainly 7 years? They kind of are who they are. And I don't see them getting exponentially better. When I look at an Anthony Edwards, you know his ceiling is much higher.
Because he came into the league a lot younger, but yes.
So with that, yes, I would look to move Michael Porter Jr., not because I don't want him as a player, but because of that salary. But the Nuggets have poured the cement on their three max guys. And when we talk about, well, how many teams have, you know, tried to win a championship while developing players? This is a new era in the NBA. So the answer is no one, because no one has really had to do it. Right? No one has really had to do it. So if this had been going on for 10, 20 years, I think I'd buy that argument a little bit more. But this is so new, we're going to see teams in the same situation as the Nuggets. It's just they're the first ones who are the champs. They're going to have to find a way to navigate it.
It's interesting to me, too, because obviously they have a willingness. They're open-minded to moving MPJ. He was involved, according to all reports, in the Paul George discussions if it had become a sign-and-trade. The other guy I would have considered, and I know fans wouldn't like it, I would have considered moving Jamal Murray.
Me too.
Because I just don't know that he's going to get any better. And I know internally they believe Michael Porter Jr. is going to continue to get better because of he's unique and he has shown some improvement. The problem with my MPJ is like when he's bad, he disappears. You know, like and against the Timberwolves, he was a ghost. Against the Lakers, you can argue he was their best player outside of Jokic. And that unpredictability is so odd for a player of his talent. But Jamal Murray, is this the year he's finally going to become an all-star, play, you know, 75 games and do it post to post? Because they need more from him. If he's not a superstar in the postseason, you saw what happened. He wasn't very good in the postseason.
His
two game-winning baskets notwithstanding, he wasn't a great player this postseason.
I agree. But how do you think Jokic would react to a Jamal Murray trade?
I don't think he'd react well to it.
Okay.
Well, and that plays a factor in it.
That should play a major factor in it. That's not only his good friend, but they have built that chemistry over the years. Now you're saying to Jokic, you got to develop a whole new pick and roll with somebody else. You don't want to upset him. Granted, I don't think they are, you know, on Zoom calls with Nikola Jokic in Sombor, Serbia, saying, what do you think? What do you think? But when it comes to Jamal Murray specifically and only, they need to include him in the conversations. If indeed it came down to that, and I don't think it will.
No, but I do think even if you pay him, because you're boxed with these max contracts, either you move on from the guy or you pay him. You could also consider moving him next year after he plays on that max deal for 1 year. You could consider. I just think at some point you're going to have to be open-minded to a lot of possibilities given how the roster is constructed right now. And a lot of this, frankly, wouldn't matter if it weren't for the fact they're in the championship window with Jokic. He's not going to be the best player in the league for 5 more years. Like, it's just not going to happen. He'll be top 3 player next year, probably top 5 the following, top 7 the next. At some point, he's top 15. He's not going to continue to be the best player in the league. And that's the only reason people, you're panicking. Just run it back. They're fine. Normally, I would agree. Except you have an opportunity with this unicorn to win another title. And it doesn't make their first title a fluke. But if this is their offseason, Eric, if this is their offseason of adding Gordon Hayward and counting on Watson, Brown, and Holmes and Strother, then that's telling Nuggets fans it's never getting better than 2023, and that is an absolute crowbar to the shins.
I'll tell you this. By the way, I've heard that phrase. Oh, yes, I read it word for word in your column yesterday, which we're talking about now. And let's continue this. I'm looking way beyond the horizon line here. Right now, with KCP walking out the door, last year, Bruce Brown walking out the door, he got paid a lot of money. It's understandable that he was a little too rich for them.
Everyone that plays for Jokic gets paid.
That's right. And they should.
It's where you come to get paid.
I guess what my real question is, how would Michael Porter Jr. look in another offense where he's not getting all those wide open jump shots? But I digress.
I would argue this real quick. No player in the league right now sees their first quarter usage and production
drop off as much.
As much as it does in the fourth quarter. Correct. For him. Well, he is like a factor. He's the running plays for him. You watch him in the fourth quarter, a lot of times he's not in the game. And that's my argument. How can he be a max player if you don't want him in the game in the fourth quarter? Why is he on the team?
Sure, I'm going to take that a step further. Forget about you don't want him in the game. He has said, you can take me out of the game. He has said, last year in the championship window, he said he didn't have any problems with him going to the bench to put in Christian Brown. He said that. He said to Malone, if you need to take me out and that's what's best for the team, feel free to sit me. You remember those?
I appreciate the humility. My point is, as a max contract guy,
I understand that
he has to be in the game when it matters.
A max contract guy should want to be on the floor, right. Should not say it's okay to take me out. But we'll continue this after the break. And this is the question I have for you. Has Calvin Booth already, with Bruce Brown leaving, KCP leaving, now he's going to put a lot of faith into his young guys, unless he makes a big splash, right? Has he put his toe on the road that John Elway walked the day after they won the Super Bowl? That's next. His son rose in my day too. I was coming down, but now I'm talking to you. 'Cause we're having it all night.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
See, a lot of people have Alexa. We have Alexa. You ask for the group, you get the group. You like The Cure, you get The Cure.
Friday, I'm in Love. It's a great song. Boys Don't Cry is probably my favorite Cure song because it's an older Cure song.
Yep.
Boys Don't Cry, I heard the other day when I was in a department store, and I couldn't believe I heard that song. But I do like that whole album. But Friday, I'm in Love, that's a college song for me.
Well, it's Monday. Unfortunately. Monday always comes too late. Is that the lyric? Monday always comes.
I always thought if I had a sloth as a pet, I would name it Monday.
If I had a dog, I would name it Stay.
I do have a dog. Bentley the Bulldog.
I would name it Stay. You want to know why? Because I'd say, come here, stay. Come here, stay. Come here, stay. Just to confuse the dog.
So the dog would hate you like everyone else in your life.
Actually, I don't know if I can say this on air. I'll just use the word... If I bought a horse, I would name it My Balls. Want to know why?
At this point, I'm scared to ask.
Because I would buy the horse, and right before its first race, I would pull the horse out of the race just to hear the track announcer say, in the seventh race, scratch My Balls. and boom, that'd be worth the total investment.
Gotta give it to you. That was pretty funny. That's a long setup and a lot of money to get one laugh, but it worked.
There's no two-drink minimum here, especially this early on the show. Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. You can watch us, MileHighSports.com. A lot of setup. Was it really that long?
I'm talking about if you went through with it.
Right.
The investment in a horse.
Right.
To get it into it, train it to get it good enough to be in the race.
Well, there has to be a setup. I just can't put it out there. People are, what the hell is he talking about? I had to set it up.
The joke setup on the show was quick. I'm talking in reality.
You just started the station already. You're starting in with me.
I'm arguing with you.
You know, we don't need you for the final hour and 20 minutes.
You could take this.
All the nice things I put out on social media about you, I'm not going to take it back yet. Let's see how the rest of the show goes. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Trey Rank, at Eric Goodman, on Wednesday, July 10th. Auction for construction and contracting equipment for wheel loaders, water trucks, skid steers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to rollerauction.com/MHS, and they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
John Elway brought a championship to Denver, led a team to a Super Bowl. They lost to Seattle. Don't need to go over that. Then they get to a Super Bowl 2 years later and win it under John Elway. Sadly for John Elway, he is probably best remembered for what happened after the Peyton Manning era. Calvin Booth deserves a lot of credit for bringing in a pair of D&3s in Bruce Brown and KCP, but now Brown is gone. KCP is gone. It looks like Calvin Booth wants to go with his younger guys, trying to get those guys playing time in the Nikola Jokic era. If this blows up in Booth's face, are we talking about another John Elway type of how we remember Calvin Booth?
Well, John Elway will be, history will remember him fondly as the more years go by.
Because overall, yes.
Overall, they
I'm talking about in the moment. We are even in today. They haven't made the playoffs in what, 8 years?
8 years, seven okay. straight losing seasons.
And a lot of it is still pinned on John Elway. Yes, as the years go on, no one's discounting what he was like as a player and how he put Denver on the map. I'm talking about as a GM. People are still pissed at him for not finding the right quarterback, drafting Paxton Lynch, thinking his defense can win championships. It didn't matter who the quarterback was. But looking at Calvin Booth, has he put his foot on that potential road to ruin of his reputation if he goes with these young guys, letting other guys walk, knowing that we might have to go into the second apron for this Jokic window?
It just feels like such a risky bet by Booth if the answer to returning to a championship or winning a championship is trusting young guys when you have a coach who has a reluctance to play young guys. Mike Malone doesn't even take starters out when they're up 20 points in games late in the season. And so while I can understand Booth's logic, go younger because they're just as talented and they're going to develop and they're a cheaper version of the guys we let walk out the door, you and your coach better be in sync. Because that's where the Booth mistake will come into play is if we look up at the end of the year and they get knocked out in the second round again and their offseason was very pedestrian, I think the criticism will be, and I think at that point Malone's situation in Denver could come into question, but why would you do this knowing you have a coach who's so ultra-competitive, who burns hot, trusting him to develop these young guys? And I know they said in synchronicity in the post-presser after the season, we get it, we're all on the same page. The actions tell me, not words. It's easy to say that in a press conference. Michael Malone is just really competitive. It's helped them win the championship. And so as you're transitioning into this different business model that you talked about, Eric, of the new NBA and the apron and how do you navigate big contracts, you're going to have to trust some young players. Can Malone do that?
Well,
and if he can't, is that on Booth? What could tell you he would do that? Because he hasn't in recent years. So that's where there would be fair criticism of Booth. It's not that the logic is flawed. It's the idea that do you have the pieces in place to pull this off that you're all on the same page? And if I'm sitting here today, I say, you got to prove that. You've got to prove that because Malone does not typically have the patience for young guys. He's ultra competitive. He won't even sub out starters where they're in blowouts. And now he's going to develop three guys?
Well, as the roster sits right now, Calvin Booth is taking away Malone's option. They're all young guys.
And he did it with Barton. That was a huge, huge, huge move. Getting Barton out the building so he'd stop playing
it. It was my understanding that Will Barton was going to be out the door no matter what, even if Conley stayed.
Well, that's good because Conley was deathly loyal to him.
Right, and to Gary Harris as well. But the way the roster currently looks right now, Malone's going to look down his bench and he's not going to see any veterans. He's going to be forced now to play young guys. He doesn't have a choice.
And that's kind of the old Billy Bean, the money ball. Like, I'm going to, you know, like when Carlos Pena in the movie got traded so you'll play Hatterberg,
right.
I'll just force you to play him. Okay, but you got to just make sure we're on the same page here. I get, Eric, you're looking down at the bench like, hey, we got to go with Holmes. Who else are we going to play?
Right.
But they got to do it. And one of the criticisms I had, people like, you're so down on the Holmes pick because I called it boring. And the reason I did, there might have been some exaggeration to that, but it was just this idea. Everyone thinks these college guys are plug and play and they're going to do everything great. When does that happen? Especially from beyond the arc and the way the Nuggets run their offense, this whole pop and pick, you've got to be able to shoot in their offense. We watch the Celtics. They have seven guys, Eric, who can make threes.
Here's a stat for you.
How many guys on the Nuggets can make threes consistently right now?
Not many.
Three?
Yeah.
Four?
And you're including Jokic in that, by the way.
And he didn't shoot great at the end. But, yeah, the Celtics have seven. And we're going to say Holmes, who shot well in college 1 year, is suddenly going to be an ace, a marksman?
Here's a number for you. The Nuggets were 30th in three-point attempts this past year in the regular season. 30th in three-point attempts. And number three, and number four on that roster of three-point attempts were KCP and Reggie Jackson. So how many more are they going to really take if they now they really don't have those guys anymore?
Yeah, well, that's, again, Brown's got to improve from the beyond the arc.
I hope he's in the gym right now. Or as the hip kids say, I hope he's in the lab.
He has got to shoot better. He's an athletic marvel at times. He plays with intensity. He brings you in. All these things you like. But if you're a two guard in this league, you got to be able to shoot.
Yeah, it's shooting guard.
You got to be able to shoot.
That's why they call it the position.
I mean, moving on from Reggie, I like Reggie, the person. He's a joy to talk to. He wasn't very good last year. He was in a shooting slump for much of the season. They should be able to upgrade Reggie in a backup. But if you go with Christian Brown as your two, then what is the answer off the bench? Like, if you're going to say, play him as a starter and then you're going to bring in Jordan Clarkson, okay. Somebody that can just shoot and get hot. But if Brown's your starter, then I need the guy coming off the bench to give me something. I got to see.
So does
that
worry you a little bit if they actually do sign Westbrook? Because now
he can't shoot.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that Malone will look at the veteran and say, I'm giving him the minutes over the young guy.
100%.
Or does Calvin Booth say, I only want you painting with these colors. I'm going to give you a palette. And you get red, blue, and green.
Right.
Okay. I'm not going to give you orange. I'm not going to give you pink. I'm not going to give you white. Right. Those other colors are veterans. Take them off. I'm only going to give you a bunch of young guys to work with. How do you think Malone's going to react to that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
You almost really have to wonder, because when you look at this past season, the young guys did get some minutes. Don't get me wrong. They did. Peyton Watson, though, disappeared, obviously, in the Minnesota series.
It's because of the fact Gordon and Watson can't shoot threes. So you have to have floor spacers. So to have them on the floor at the same time, it was essentially becoming four guys guarding Jokic, daring anyone else on their team to shoot threes. It got to the point. I saw his logic in it. We can't have Watson and Gordon. Now, Gordon had game four against Minnesota where he was unreal. Gordon doesn't shoot threes well.
No.
They dared him to shoot. If Watson's on the floor, what are they going to do? No, they're going to sag off. They essentially, the last part of that Minnesota series, had three guys surrounding Jokic, daring anyone else to beat them. And that's the issue. Like, and then they put Peyton Watson in to guard Cat on one ends bounce play, and he got beat. And like, we never saw Peyton Watson again. But that's an issue. It's just the floor spacing, the way they run their offense. If you're going to have Jokic as the center of everything, as you should, you got to have shooters around him.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll get into some of the notable moves so far in NBA free agency, and the Rockies DFA'd this position player yesterday, leaving only Austin Gomber left from the Arenado trade. That's up next on Morning Drive on Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, smileysports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Troy Rank, at Eric Goodman. On Wednesday, July 10th, there's an auction for construction and contracting equipment for wheel loaders, a water truck, skid steers, dump trucks, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, the ball got rolling on NBA free agency yesterday, and some of the notable moves included James Harden staying with the Clippers for 2 years, $70 million, Chris Paul joining Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio on a one-year deal, and the 76ers signing Paul George to team up with Embiid and Maxey. So far, what moves in free agency other than KCP have caught your attention?
Well, I mean, listen, Paul George going to give them a big three in Philadelphia, as Eric talked about earlier. When's it ever worked out with Paul George? PG-13 has been an R-rated movie in the playoffs. They come up short. But if he's healthy, Philadelphia suddenly now is a real threat to Boston. I mean, the Knicks, with the acquisition of Mikal Bridges, are a real threat to Boston. The Bridges one is fascinating to me because now you have, what, four starters from Villanova. But The Paul George one was the linchpin. It was kind of holding up. So I would say, Eric, for me, there is a fascination of how will that work. Big threes outside of LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, it really hasn't worked in the NBA.
I like Chris Paul a lot to San Antonio. Chris Paul's not the same player that he used to be, and I get it. But Victor Wembanyama and the new guy that they just drafted out of UConn, who I think is going to be a pretty good player, Stephon Castle, right? They have Chris Paul at the perfect time. A veteran, hasn't won a championship, but a veteran who does things the right way, still can play pretty good defense, not the same offensive player, but he injects a veteran leadership into a young team. I'm not suggesting the Spurs are going to go deep in the playoffs, but he's the right guy at the right time. That's for the Western Conference. Certainly in the Eastern Conference, it is going to be Paul George. Now they have their, what, their three max guys, pretty much?
Yeah. I mean, Tyrone Maxey was a revelation last year.
Right.
I mean, once they got rid of Harden, this guy blossomed into a superstar.
Right.
Now you have three stars. Now, can Embiid stay healthy? And they make
Paul
a lot
George
of,
stay healthy?
Can PG-13 stay healthy? They make a lot of excuses for Embiid. Now he has no excuse. You got your guy. You got three guys. Like you said, you had Butler a few years ago. It didn't work. Now you have legitimately three on-paper star players. No excuses. The only thing the Spurs acquisition of Paul guarantees is that we're probably going to see Victor Wembanyama in a State Farm commercial. That's it. That's all it guarantees.
He's not going to be in a Hotels.com commercial.
No.
Sure?
Sure.
Okay.
I did watch Victor in person. That is the most fascinating athlete I've seen in person since I saw Andre the Giant wrestle at Old Big Mac when I was like 16 years old.
Are you a big wrestling fan?
For a few years, I got into it.
Did you see the Von Erich movie?
I did.
What'd you think?
It was all right. I mean, it was sad. I didn't realize how sad and depressing their family story was. Oh my God.
Right.
If you Google that story, I knew there was tragedy, but my word, when they talk about a curse, they weren't kidding. My only issue is Zac Efron's like 5'2", and the guy that played, who am I thinking of? Woohoo guy. Help me, the Woohoo guy.
Ric Flair.
I'm losing my mind. The guy that played Ric Flair weighed like 140 pounds. Like the casting in parts of the movie were so off.
How yoked was Zac Efron, though?
I mean, he does this every other movie. This is who he is.
This guy is the next Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he is put together.
He is so incredibly talented that there aren't words to describe how talented this guy is. Whether it's singing, whether it's acting, whether it's whatever. No?
I would dispute that. I just watched that he's that talented.
Really?
Kind of stiff as an actor for me. Kind of stiff. But I just watched him last night in Family Affair with Nicole Kidman. My wife and I watched that on Netflix.
Yep.
Just came out. Not bad. It's not bad. As in the Von Erich role, he was good.
Yeah.
The issue was he's not the size of a wrestler, and they did a lot of wrestling scenes. Yeah. Pro wrestlers, even when they shrunk down after the steroid era, and this was during the steroid era.
Right.
You're talking about guys who are 6'2", 250 to 350. Efron, at jacked up, was probably, what, 215? He didn't look like a pro wrestler. And then the brother they cast at the end, that the brother after the one brother died, I mean, it's a sad story. He looked like a guy you just found out that was doing DoorDash. You just pulled out of the car and said, jump into the ring. Well, he was totally miscast.
I'll tell you this. So this is your first day at Mile High Sports. You've done very well in television at Channel 7. Obviously, you do a great job at the Denver Post. You're recently with another local radio station. Now you're here. If it doesn't work out here, maybe you could do a movie review show.
I don't watch enough movies is the problem.
And I'm not crazy about your review on Zac Efron. I give you 3 Rotten Tomatoes for that review on Zac Efron.
When has he had a great actor?
No, I didn't say he's an Academy Award winner, but there are a lot of guys who it took them a while to become. How long did it take Tom Hanks to become a big, great actor?
And it took him a while.
You
got to have the right role.
You need to have that breakout role.
Right.
Right?
Efron was in a couple of
Would you call Steve Carell a great actor until you saw him in some serious movies and then you're like, wow, this guy can act?
He was pretty funny in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
No, that's honestly one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. But he did a lot of slapstick type of movies, like 40-Year-Old Virgin and Anchorman.
This feels like you're putting a lot of weight in High School Musical. I'm going to be honest.
No, he's well beyond that.
I'm going to be honest.
Audience
will be right. It feels like he's putting a lot of weight into that High School Musical.
What do you mean, audience? We're sitting in a studio by ourselves. This is like the Seinfeld episode where Kramer goes through the dumpster and finds the Merv Griffin set, and you just said, and I'm saying to you, where are all the cameras? Where's our audience?
Where's our audience?
Alex is looking at us. You just played to the crowd. This isn't the fan, okay? We don't have a big group of people. They don't have people in the audience either. Did they have a studio audience?
Not that I remember.
Well, they're way in your rearview mirror now.
Exactly.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It? Not Just In Case You Missed It, the lead, I should say. Or Just In Case. Where the hell are we in the show? It's already 8. Clearly,
Troy,
who is in his first show, now I'm out of whack. He doesn't know any of the break times. We are so far into the next segment. I guess we have to do the lead. I'm so lost with this guy now. This might be our last show together.
Having too much fun.
Yeah. Bo Nix. Is he going to be the starter? Well, DraftKings came up with some odds. That's next.